your pastor, his wife. They strive to be Christians, and you can tell that in their kids. And I know I'm not, haven't been here for long. And I know that young people are not perfect, but I appreciate this family. Amen. I thank the Lord for them allowing us to be here. How many of you love your pastor, his wife, and family? Once again, can you clap your hands? Those watching online, go ahead and clap your hands right where you're watching and thank God for your pastor and his family. Amen. And I give this church honor. God bless each and every last one of you. The praise team, wow, just awesome, dynamic, fantastic, anointed. And that is the main thing. There's a difference between the spirit of entertainment and the anointing. And I thank God that this praise team knows how to follow after God. Can you clap your hands and thank the Lord for the praise team? Now, why don't you give yourself a hand clap for being a part of this revival? Come on, somebody clap your hands and thank the Lord that he gave you the strength and the ability to be here at the beginning of the year, the first fruits. Praise God. I want to direct your attention to the book of Joshua, chapter 13, verse number 1. Joshua, chapter 13, verse number 1. As I mentioned last night and this morning, I felt the Lord give me specific messages for this revival. And I sought the Lord, specifically studied, prayed. And I usually just don't preach from the same book in a revival, but I felt the Lord speak to me specifically. And I believe that he's going to continue to do something here tonight. If you believe that, can you shout amen? Amen. Joshua chapter 13, verse number 1. Now, Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. Now, it's one thing for somebody to call you old. It's another thing for the Lord to call you old. Joshua was old and stricken. That word stricken can better be translated as advanced. I mean, Joshua did something that I don't think I could do in leading the people of God over into the promised land in his golden years. He was not a young man. He was not middle age when they crossed the Jordan River. He had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So he wasn't in his 40s, ladies and gentlemen. This man was, amen, advanced in years. He has seen a few things. But the Lord said, Joshua, you are old and advanced in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Last night I preached about the fight to possess your promise. Tonight, amen, I want to close out these special series of service. And I want to preach to you about the revival that remains. There is still very much land to be possessed. This is not all that God has for Harvest Ministries. The next revival is not all that God has for Harvest Ministries. And the next revival is not. God has more in store for you. If you believe that there is a revival that remains, can you place your Bible, your smartphones, your tablets down, and can you clap your hands and lift up your voices and praise unto God? Hallelujah. And the glory. Lord Jesus, we give you the glory. Can somebody shout in Jesus' name? Turn somebody and tell them we are having revival. God bless you. You may be seated. If I've said it one time, I've said it 1,000 times over the last 20 years. I do not believe that revival is just a series of services. I believe that revival is a state of being. I don't believe that revival comes and goes with the evangelists, but I believe that when you have a man of God, a woman of God that believes in revival, a church can be in perpetual revival. I know that there are seasons, I know that there are times of revival, but I also believe what Jesus said, that amen, you don't have to wait for 4 months to have a harvest. You can have it now if you are planning and if you are preparing for it. I come to declare here tonight that I believe that the greatest days of the church are not behind her, but the greatest days of the church still lay ahead. I said, I believe that the church is going to have her greatest revival. The greatest revival is not in the past, but the greatest revival is for us to have right now. I don't believe that the church has seen her greatest revival yet. There have been some great revivals since the day of Pentecost, from the Azusa Street Revival of 1906 to the Great Crusades in Ethiopia, where hundreds of thousands receive the gift of the Holy Ghost during the turn of the last century. But ladies and gentlemen, the revival that God wants to give to the church today in these last days just before the rapture of the church is going to be just as great as what happened on the day of Pentecost. It's going to be just as great as what happened at Azusa Street. It's going to be just as great. Come on, somebody. I believe that God has the greatest revival still yet for the church in these last days. If you believe that, can somebody clap your hands and can somebody shout amen? I know that we are in a pandemic. Amen. We're not able to hold large gatherings like we used to. But can I remind somebody that the pandemic hasn't stopped God from saving those who want to be saved? I said the pandemic hasn't stopped God from saving those that want to be saved. Amen. We enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship this afternoon and with the Williams. And Pastor Williams said, you know what, it's 2020 was a difficult year, the pandemic. And the pastor, your pastor, they all talked about, amen, the things that they had to deal with in this pandemic, considering even their own health. But Pastor Williams spoke up and said, you know what, we had more people get baptized and get the Holy Ghost than we thought. Amen, it's amazing what God did. I look at this church and I see some new, amen, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to tell, amen, that God is still giving Harvest Ministries revival. Amen. These precious young ladies that took off to running here today, I don't know how long they've been living for God. Praise God. But what I do know, amen, is that the pandemic didn't stop you from experiencing salvation. Oh, thank God. And if God can do it for them, there are still, amen, a whole city of people that are seeking for an answer, people that are struggling, amen, people that are down and depressed, people that are addicted in bondage, but they're looking for an answer, and we got the answer. The answer is in the name of Jesus. The answer is in the power of his blood. The answer is in the power of his spirit. If anybody wants to be saved, they can still be saved, even in the midst of a pandemic. Can somebody clap your hands and can somebody shout amen? God has not taken the pandemic off. I appreciate, amen, this praise team singing, amen, that I believe that God can still heal. Can I remind somebody here tonight that cancer is nothing to God. ALS is nothing to God. Ladies and gentlemen, COVID-19 and the new COVID-20, amen, that hit at the end of last year is not too big for our God. Our God is able to heal any sickness. He's able to heal any disease. He's able to heal any virus. Does anybody still believe that? Can somebody clap your hands and can you shout amen? Now, we still believe in using wisdom, praise God, because the spirit of the Antichrist would just love to attack the church as being a super spreader event. And so we still, amen, practice wisdom. We believe, amen, that the Lord can send his word to heal you. But can I tell somebody who said, I don't know if the Lord can heal COVID-19. There are a whole lot of people that should not be alive today. There are some individuals in this room, amen, that COVID-19 attacked your body, but you're here. Amen. It's not just because, amen, of the remedies that they had. It's not just because of the drugs and the excellent care. We thank God for our healthcare workers. They are our heroes. We thank God for our doctors. Say, God still uses modern-day medicine. He still uses doctors. He still uses nurses. Amen. We still believe in medicine. But ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you who is the one that gave, amen, the wisdom and the knowledge to find out the treatments to treat the body? Can I remind somebody, amen, the one who created the body? Can I remind somebody the one who is able to restore the body? Can I remind somebody who is the one who is able to heal the body? Amen. You are here tonight, not just because of the excellent care of our healthcare workers, but you are here tonight because the Lord healed you. Oh, does anybody got a testimony that the Lord healed you? Can you clap your hands and can somebody shout hallelujah? Amen. God has not taken the pandemic off. He is still at work. Now, there are things that have changed, and the church has to adjust, but we must remain apostolic like the first century church. You know, it's really amazing to me sometimes that Pentecostals forget that we're Pentecostals. We're thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do without our buildings? Well, praise God, they didn't have the buildings back in the first century church, but they still have revival. I said they still have revival. Now, the pandemic is no excuse to miss church when you can be in the house of God. Because I got news for everybody, ladies and gentlemen, praise God. Thank God for the technology that has allowed us to continue to have church virtually. But there is coming a day when they're going to say, you know what, I don't like the message of the Pentecostal church. I don't like the message of Harvest Ministries. And they're going to try to block us. But can I tell somebody, that's not going to stop the church. The church is still going to grow. The church is still going to have revival. Amen. We're Pentecostals. Amen. This thing was not born, amen, just because of some committee. This thing was not born because a lot of people threw their money in it. This thing was not born because of somebody's pedigree or prestige or intellect. Amen. The church was born in an upper room with 120 people that were seeking God. And when the sound came from heaven, like of a rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were sitting. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, can I remind you that God can still fill people with the Holy Ghost even when we don't lay hands on them. Hallelujah. I still believe in the gift of faith. I still believe that God can change somebody's life. God can still... Does anybody but still believe that we're Pentecostal, that we still can have a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind? Does anybody still believe in the gifts of the Spirit that God can change and transform lives? Can you clap your hands or can you shout hallelujah? Praise God. Amen. You know what? During this pandemic, even though God has been changing hearts and lives, at the same time, as I have traveled, as I have listened to the voices of pastors who are concerned for those that they lead, they have mentioned that while there have been many people coming into the church, there have also been those that they thought were stronger than they were that have left the church. But ladies and gentlemen, at the same time, that some have fallen away, the gospel is being proclaimed through various internet and media platforms more than ever before. Amen. The Lord said this gospel is going to spread around the world. Amen. To the ends of the earth. Amen. To every nation. This gospel is going to be spread, and it's happening right now. It's happening in our day. People are hearing the gospel in access-challenged nations, nations that are closed off to a missionary coming in, but yet God is using the internet and other means, amen, to get the gospel to them. I thank God for what is happening in our day. God knows how to take the evil and turn around for good. Does anybody believe that? Can somebody shout hallelujah? Now, if you are here tonight or if you are watching and you're one of those remnant theology types, you're one of those who believe that the church is only remnant, amen, that the church is only going to see a small band of people saved, that they're just going to hang on by their, amen, chinny chin chin, then I am not preaching to you, because the remnant theology refers to Israel. Praise God. Amen. The remnant theology, there is a difference between Israel and the church. There is some correlation, but there is a distinction between God's people according to the flesh and God's people according to the Spirit. So if you have the remnant theology and you don't believe that God's going to give the church revival in these last days because only a remnant are going to be saved, I am not preaching to you. But if you are one of those Joel chapter 2, one of those Acts chapter 2 believers, then I am preaching to you. If there's anybody that believes what the prophet Joel prophesied and what, amen, the apostle Peter declared on the day of Pentecost, that it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. If you believe that, then I am preaching to you.
Does anybody believe that we're going to have the greatest revival that we've ever had before the Lord comes back? Can you put your hands together once again and can somebody make a declaration? Come on, somebody call out a family member's name. Somebody call out a co-worker's name. Somebody call out a classmate name. Somebody call out Springfield. Somebody declare that we're going to have the greatest revival that we've ever had before. Turn to somebody and tell them, I believe that God's going to give us an outpouring. Here in the verse of scripture that we read, the Lord tells Joshua that he isn't as young as he used to be, but well advanced in years. He would have been around 90 years old. About 5 to 6 years had passed from the time that he had led Israel across the Jordan River. He had courageously led them in conquest. They won many battles and enjoyed great victory. Much of the land over in the promised land had been claimed. But yet, after all of their victories and after all of their triumphs, the Lord reminds Joshua that there's still more land that needs to be obtained. There's still more land that remains that needs to be conquered. Can I say it, amen, once again, like I said last night, that you still have to fight to possess the rest of your promise. Does anybody have a fight here tonight? I said, does anybody have a fight here tonight? Praise God. In the verses following, the scripture that we read, the Lord told Joshua what Israel still needed to conquer, the areas that they still needed to advance and expand. There was still some territory to gain, still some enemies to fight. What Joshua had to realize was no matter what his age was or his accomplishments, he still had to advance and plan ahead. He couldn't just sit back, resign to relax when there was still more to be accomplished and more that he could do to advance the cause. This is what Joshua did until his death at the age of 110. He didn't just sit back and get offended because God called him old. He didn't just sit back and say, you know what, I'm just too stricken. I'm just too feeble. There's nothing. No. He kept on fighting. He kept on advancing until he was 110 years of age. Even before his death, he reminded Israel, there is still more that remains. But the Lord, amen, is going to expel your adversaries. Just like he has done in the past, he's going to do it in the present. And when I'm dead and gone, he's going to continue to do it. There is still more that remains. There is a story that our former general superintendent, the late Brother N.A. Urshan, told about old Brother W.T. Witherspoon. Brother Witherspoon was the first assistant general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church International. He pastored in Columbus, Ohio, a great man of God. And Brother Witherspoon was very instrumental in bringing two different groups that were struggling to come together in a merger. He's the one that wrote our fundamental doctrine of the United Pentecostal Church, that we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. And Brother Witherspoon, on his deathbed, when Brother Urshan came to visit him, he told Brother Urshan that the church is going to see the greatest revival that it has ever seen. Now, Brother Witherspoon has saw the church go from early Pentecostalism in the early 1900s to being on the other side of the tracks to where now people were trying to mimic the Pentecostals. Amen. He saw the church go through, amen, a pandemic back in 1918. He saw the church go through war wars. They made it through the Great Depression. And yet they still remained. They didn't give up just because it had crisis. Those early Pentecostals kept on praising. They kept on praying. They kept on worshiping. They kept on coming together, gathering together. They kept on believing that God was going to give them revival. But yet Brother Witherspoon looked at Brother Urshan and said that the church is about to see the greatest revival. And then he looked at Brother Urshan with those piercing eyes and said, I just wish I could be there to see that revival. But you're going to see it. Ladies and gentlemen, amen, there was great revival that went through the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. Hallelujah. There was a lot of challenges, but God blessed the United Pentecostal Church, amen, to where even in this city, even though we're not the largest Pentecostal organization in the world, but yet the United Pentecostal Church has more people receive the Holy Ghost than any other Pentecostal denomination, and we ought to thank God for that. But whenever Brother Urshan, before he passed, he said the same thing that Brother Witherspoon, yes, he had led the United Pentecostal Church, yes, he saw great expansion, yes, amen, the gospel starts spreading around the world like a wildfire. But Brother Urshan said, amen, the greatest church revival is not in the past, but the greatest revival that the church has ever seen is still ahead. And can I lift up my voice and make a declaration with those great men of God that, amen, we have not seen the greatest revival yet. No matter how great of a revival God has given to us in the past, there's still some great revivals that still remain. Harvest Ministries, no matter how many great revivals that you've had in your history, there are still some great revivals that remain. Does anybody believe that? Can you clap your hands and can you give God praise right now? Can I tell you what the church needs? Hey, amen. The church needs some people that will remain to see the revival that remains. Hey, amen. I say to these precious young ladies, they're going to be people that come against you. They're going to be people that tell you and try to talk you out of living for God. But no matter what happens, keep on living for the Lord. Amen. I don't care if somebody in this place tries to talk you out. Don't listen to them. Keep on living for God. Thank God for my dear and precious sister, amen, that's making disciples. That's what it's all about, the one who's a praise singer, amen. God wants to use all of us to make disciples, no matter what. I don't care who's offended you. I don't care who's hurt you. Don't let anybody talk you out of leaving the church. Remain, because there is still a great revival that's going to happen, and the Lord needs you, amen. The Lord needs every young person. The Lord needs everyone that's young at heart. The Lord needs everyone that is advanced in years and has wisdom, and those that don't have any wisdom, but you're gaining a experience. The Lord needs all hands on deck for the revival that he desires to give us. If somebody believes that, can you lift up your hands and can you ask the Lord to help you to remain? Can I just make one more declaration to Harvest Ministries before we scoot on out of here? Ladies and gentlemen, the revival that God wants to give isn't just for this community or this city. I said the revival that the Lord desires to give isn't just for this Glendale community. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think it's Glendale. I see the high school called and all. Amen. But it's not just for this, amen, community. It is not just for this city of Springfield. I believe that it's for this region. Yea, I will declare that it's even for the region beyond you. There are areas in southwest Missouri that are rich in Pentecostal history, but yet they have not yet heard the Acts 2:38 message. There are people that live in these Ozarks that need to hear the Acts 2:38 message. It's not the time to sit back and enjoy the revivals of the past when there is still much work to do. God wants to give you a regional revival, and he wants to give you a revival that goes beyond even your region. Does anybody believe that in this house? Can you lift up your voice and can you make that declaration? Can somebody speak it out? God, give us a regional revival and give us a revival that goes beyond our region. The Apostle Paul declared to the Corinthian church that he had not come to boast of other men's labors, but he had come to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's lines of things made ready to our hand, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Can I remind us here tonight that what the church needs today are some men and women with faith and vision, humility and integrity, boldness and courage to reach above and beyond your own ability. Men and women who aren't boastful or prideful, covetous or selfish, but men and women who will give glory to God. Can I say it like I said this morning? The church needs more people like the Apostle Paul and less people like Achan. I said the church needs more people who are selfless, amen, like the Apostle Paul, who was willing to go to the regions beyond, and less people like Achan, who was in it all for themselves. The church needs both young and old believers who understand that there is are still some things that accompany salvation. They're not just satisfied with sitting on a pew remembering the revivals of the past, but they still have a hunger to be used of God and see greater things than these. I don't know about you, but I believe that God's going to give us some greater things. I said, I believe there's still some testimonies to be told. I still believe that there are some miracles still to be done. I believe there are some people that are going to be healed that we have not yet heard yet. But God is going to give us greater things than these. Amen. There are some people that we need in the church that want to continue to expand the kingdom of God. They understand that there still remaineth a rest for the people of God. And they want all the rest of what God has for them, not just to rest on their laurels. I wonder if there's anybody at Harvest Ministries that you got your mind made up. You might not be able to run the aisles like you used to. You might not be able to shout the bobby pins out like you used to. You might not be able to jump up and down like you used to. But you got it made up in your mind that you're not just going to ride a pew, but you're going to do something. You can still pray. You can still witness. You can still, amen, make a disciple. Come on, I wonder if there's anybody that got a made-up mind that our revival is not in the past, but our revival is now, and the greatest revival we haven't seen yet. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I preached all that to preach this. There are people who are like Joshua that wanted the rest of what God promised to them. Whenever the Lord told Joshua that there still remains more land to be possessed, Joshua didn't retire, but he reassessed. Let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with retiring. Thank God for those that have worked, and you should enjoy, amen, the fruits of your labor. You have a right to retire. But what is wrong is those who retire, but yet they think that they can just give up on the mission. I said, what is wrong are those who think that they can just give up on the mission. You know, one thing I appreciate about this church, when I walked in, I saw your banners. Amen. I know that you all are trying to get the mission in motion, or the motion in mission, however you got that, I got all mixed up. But when I saw this, it said honoring the past. And I said, thank God that that's on the wall. Too many in my generation and too many in the generation behind me, they do not believe in honoring the past, honoring the elders. But thank God for the men and women of God that have gone before us. Those, amen, that had eggs thrown at them. Those that had tomatoes thrown at them. Those that had, amen, snakes thrown into their, amen, brush arbor means. Those that had dynamite planted. Those that were beat up for the gospel. Amen. Those that were considered on the other sides of the tracks when we didn't have anything. Thank God for those that labored in these parts to bring us to where we are here today. Amen. A nice, beautiful building. So I thank God that we believe in honoring the past. But I also see on the wall that it says promoting the future and celebrating the present. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some people that all they can do is talk about the past. Amen. I remember, amen, brother so-and-so. I remember sister so-and-so. I remember the songs of the past. I remember how things, and I understand all of that. But ladies and gentlemen, we cannot live in the past. When you're just living in the past, you're telling your age. But ladies and gentlemen, we're not stricken. We are to be advanced. I don't care, amen, how long you've been around Pentecost. Amen. There's got to be something in your spirit that says our revival, the greatest revival, is not in the past. We honor the past. We thank God for the past. But we're going to have revival in our present, and we're going to have revival in our future. There are still people that are out there that need to be reached with the gospel. There are still people that need to be saved. There are still people that need to be delivered. There are still people that need to be healed. There are still people that need to come and experience the grace and the mercy and the love of God. Does anybody believe that? Can you lift up your voice? And can somebody make that declaration? We honor the past, but we're going to have revival now. We're going to have revival in the future. We're not going to let up. We're not going to back up. We're not going to backslide. We're not going to compromise. We're going to have revival. Hallelujah. Can somebody once again clap your hands unto the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise God. After Joshua told Israel that he would give them their inheritance, but that there was still more ground to cover, one of Joshua's old buddies spoke up by the name of Caleb. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Can somebody shout Judah? And Judah means praise. Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Judah rose up to challenge, amen, to the challenge of what remained to be conquered. And they came to Joshua. And this is what Caleb said to Joshua in Joshua 14 and verse number 6. He said, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, a man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, our brothers who went up with us, they made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on that day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the giants were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I will be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And the Bible says that Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron. Can somebody say Hebron? He gave Hebron to Caleb, amen, as an inheritance. Here was, amen, Caleb, who was a little bit younger than Joshua. But he said, I was with you when we spread out the land, and we were the only ones that believed. We were the only ones that God said, you're going to live to cross over to the promised land. Now here I am 85 years ago. Amen. We've been here in the land of promise for 5 years fighting. But I want to tell you, Joshua, there are still some giants out there. But I believe I'm just as strong as I was back then. I might not actually be, but in my mind, I've got my mind made up. I'm not just going to sit back, but I'm going to advance the kingdom. So give me this mountain. Give me that place called Hebron. Hebron is where Caleb and Joshua, as well as the other 10 spies that Moses sent to spy out the land of Canaan, that was the last place they came before they reported back to Moses. It was there at the brook or the valley of Eshcol that they cut down the single clusters of grapes that had to be carried on a pole between two of them. Amen. The grapes were so huge when they came back and they said, it's truly a land flowing with milk and honey. And look at this fruit. Look at these grapes. The people were amazed. But then the other 10 said, no, the giants are over there and we can't fight. But Caleb said, no. Can you see these grapes? God has given us the land. We can fight. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the place. That was the last place they saw before they left back, amen, from the promised land and crossed over the Jordan to go and tell Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, the 10 of the spies brought up an evil report. But Caleb and Joshua believed that the Lord would give them victory. Yet because of the unbelief of the others, they had to wander in the wilderness like everybody else for 40 years until the time came again for them to cross over into the promised land. Now, 5 to 6 years have passed, amen, since they had crossed over. And Joshua declares there's still more land to be conquered. But Caleb steps up and says, give me this mountain. He wasn't afraid of the giants there. He wasn't afraid of the challenges that lie ahead or of his age. He said, give me Hebron. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe Israel had forgotten, but Hebron was the place where the Lord had made a promise to Abraham that he would give him the land of Canaan to him and his descendants forever. It was in Hebron where the patriarchs were buried. It was a special place that was still dealing with some giants. But Caleb, at the age of 85, said, give me this mountain. Ladies and gentlemen, it was that kind of faith. It was that kind of courage. It was that kind of audacity that brought about a King David who became a giant killer and conquered more land, amen, in the promised land than anybody else. I come to tell you here tonight on this last night of these revival services, could it be that somebody's faith and somebody's courage here tonight, somebody's faith and somebody's courage watching online faithfully, could it be, amen, that you will raise up a David? Could it be that you'll raise up an Apostle Paul? Could it be that you'll raise up a Queen Esther that will lead the church into the greatest revival that we have ever seen before? Could it be somebody that said, I'm not going to give up. I'm not just going to talk about the revivals of the past, but I'm going to say, give me this mountain. We still have, amen, more revival that remains. And our greatest revival is not in the past. It's in the future. Could it be somebody with that kind of faith that's going to lead, amen, to somebody being a David, a giant killer, somebody being a Paul that goes to the regions beyond, somebody being like an Esther who comes to the kingdom for such a time as this? I don't know, but what I do know is that our best days are not behind, but our best days are in front. Come on, Harvest Ministries. You haven't seen your greatest revival yet. God has great revival that still remains. Can somebody stand to your feet? Can somebody one more time in this house? Can you put your hands together and can you make a shout unto God with the voice of triumph? Come on, somebody give God praise right now. Somebody glorify the Lord right now.
There's only one revival in the last 20 years that I had to rebuke a church. I've never rebuked a church before, and that's not my kind of attitude. That's not my kind of personality. And I had to rebuke a church, a historical Pentecostal church, and I was so shaken by it. I called my pastor, who's the assistant general superintendent for the Stan Gleason in Kansas City, and I said, Pastor, I did something. I might have stepped out of bounds, and he began to explain some things to me. But I was so frustrated because in that service, there were some young people trying to have a move of God, and all I could hear from the pastor is him criticizing those young people. When I heard that, I was just frustrated. It wasn't a Pentecostal church. It was more like a denominational church. And those words didn't come from me. It came from somebody who was related to the pastor. They had become dry and dead. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, before the service is over, I'm going to bring in two young men. And ladies and gentlemen, before I got up to preach, two young men came in. And when they came walking in, they came straight to the front and sat down, and everybody looked at them. Who are these two young men? And while those young people were trying to have a move of God, those two young men began to call on the name of Jesus. Their first time in the Pentecostal church, they began to say, Jesus! And the pastor looked at me, he criticized those two young men. He said, I don't like how they... I just thought, man, they're not used to this. They're just calling on God. The Lord had already spoken to me. I never said anything to the pastor about it. Haven't since. I just told my wife and kids, when we get out of here, we're gone. You can have your little Pentecostalism without the real Pentecostal power. That ain't me. Because it's more than just a name on the marquee. Praise God. If we say it's on the menu, we got to be able to cook it up. I said, if we got on the menu, we've got to have the ingredients back in the... So I'll never forget, I called a prayer line. Praise God. Those days are kind of over. Especially in COVID, ain't nobody have no prayer line. Like, you know, preacher, just, you know, get that holy water or something. Just get the spray on. Put that on and just spray. I understand, praise God. But I had a prayer line. The first people in that prayer line were those two young men. And I said, if I could just get through these two, amen, it's all over. I'll never forget, when I laid hands on that first young man, he went. He began to speak in tongues. He got drunk in the Holy Ghost. And that little old denominational Pentecostal church looked at him like, oh my God, what in the world is going on? What in the world is going on? I'm like, oh my God, are we Pentecostal or what? This ain't nothing. This is what they said on the day of Pentecost. These men are drunk. And Peter said, they're not drunk like you think they are. They've been filled with the heavenly wine.
Amen. I lay hands on the next young man. The Lord began to show me some things of the abuse of his past. I didn't call that out, but I got to begin to pray with him, and God began to heal him, and he began to speak in tongues. And then there were healings that began to happen down the line. Amen. Somebody's ear was open. Praise God. Somebody, amen, that had a sciatic nerve was healed. Amen. Somebody whose knee was messed up, God began to heal people. We had revival that night. I said we had revival that night. But the revival didn't start with professional Pentecostals. The revival didn't start with those, amen, that had a claim to history and those that have been around. No, the revival started with some two individuals who had never stepped foot in a Pentecostal church, but they said, I need God. I need a touch from God. And when they stepped in, the Lord said, those are the ones I was talking to you about. Look what I can do. He filled them with the Holy Ghost. I come to tell somebody in this house, may we never get to a place where we just become another denominational church. May we never get to a place where we don't have a move of God, even in the midst of a pandemic. Let's reach out, amen, and practice social distance. Let's do everything we can to love our community. But the best way we can love our community is continue to have the power of the Spirit. These precious young ladies that ran around the front. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Who brought you into the church? She did. Is this your friend with you? Amen. If you feel comfortable in doing so, we're not going to make you do anything that you don't feel comfortable doing. But especially these two young ladies, I want you to come, and I want the one that brought you, and even your friend, if you feel comfortable. If you don't, there's no pressure. You can stay where you are. Amen. Praise God. I want you to come on up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody so nobody get afraid. I'm going to make sure I'm stepping back. But I want you just, young ladies, just to stand right there. I want you just to lift up your hands unto heaven, because God's got something special for you. Amen. He's done a work in your life. I know, amen, as Pastor McCoy said, Brother Poe has come through here. Amen. He's one of the greatest evangelists that the Lord has ever given to the church. And I thank God for Brother Poe. And I know that these young ladies experience salvation underneath this ministry. Amen. Something has been put into you. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over these young ladies. I plead the blood of Jesus over my sisters. I plead the blood of their disciple maker who brought them in the church. May nobody stop them, dear God, from seeking to have revival. In the name of the Lord, they're going to bring people in that don't look like us. They're going to bring people in that don't act like us. But they're going to bring people in that need to be us. Oh, God, use them for your glory. I come against every wile of the devil. I come against every lie of the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your past is prologue. All the hurt, all the pain of the past, God is going to use the pain of the past. Hallelujah. He's going to use the pain of your past. Hallelujah. He's going to be the broken vessel that his anointing is going to flow through in the name of Jesus. Roko Santa Rabato Rabasitia la 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 manda rakato la 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 bahaya. Sintareke Rikoto Rabahasha Ikando Lemanda Reke Sando Rika Raka Sende Roko Rumoshate. Somebody lift up your hands. Somebody lift up your voice. If you desire to be used by God, come on, somebody. There is an impartation of the spirit of power of God right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ha Roko Sende Rika Romo Roko Sande. Hallelujah. That's it. Somebody let the Holy Ghost flow afresh and anew in you right now. Hallelujah. If you feel comfortable doing so, if you're with the family member, if you're by somebody that you've been around and you feel comfortable doing so, amen. If there's somebody that does not feel comfortable, do not invade their privacy. Do not invade their comfort space. But if you've been around somebody and you feel comfortable, let's reach over to somebody, a family member, a friend we've been around, a coworker we've been around, and let's begin to pray with one another right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. There is a specific community in this city that God is going to use. Be careful who you offend. Be careful who you talk about. Come on, somebody. Let's not get our eyes on the things of this world. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Come on, there are people who didn't create this virus. So we shouldn't condemn them or judge them. But we should reach them. Praise God. Let's be careful how we, amen, judge people. Let's allow God to use us. Come on. Come on. That's it. God's about to bless you. I said, God's about to bless you. Amen. We're on a different economy. Oh, that's it, that's it, that's it. Come on, somebody say, give me this mountain. Somebody make it whatever your mountain is, whatever your promise is. Come on, once again, one more time. Somebody make a declaration. Lord, I want my mountain. I want what you promised me, my family being saved. Amen, my finances turned around. Hallelujah, my health back. Lord, I want to be used by you. Oh, God, we want revival. Give us this mountain. Give us Springfield. And give us the regions beyond.
Foundation.